Welcome back. Maybe you can tell us what you remember watching as a child. What kind of cartoons did you watch? We're having, again, we're going back down memory lane from Atari and Pong to cartoons that people used to watch. Do you know what? I'll be very honest with you. I wasn't a big cartoon person as a child. And even now, I'm not either. I don't mind some of the adult cartoons, but I don't know why. I just never particularly got into them. Definitely not as a child.
What? Did you watch Mr. Rogers when you were a child?
No, I don't know that. I used to love Mr. Ben.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
That was my favourite.
Mr. Ben must have been a British version of Mr. Rogers. I don't know.
Possibly. And Barba Papa, I remember that.
Barba Papa.
Yeah. text in, what do you remember? What are some of your favourite cartoons that you remember from? And let us, I mean, obviously we have such a great diverse show with people in the studio from different countries, and I know from people listening as well. So tell us about the cartoons from your part of the world. This is our subject for this afternoon, which is animation in the Middle East, and we've just been hearing from Ahmed and Amar, who are both founders of Freedom Media. And it was interesting, I was recalling this article which was written by Sultan Al-Qasimi about a conference or a talk that was in the Dubai Press Club a couple of years back. And he also spoke about the language of these cartoons, and he very generally has said that a lot of the television in this part of the world was very much Egyptian. You know, it was the Egyptian act, because that's where I think it was the biggest industry, wasn't it, for creating films. Mm-hmm. The musicians were Lebanese.
That's right, yeah.
And are Lebanese. And so, but what happens to the cartoons? Which language do they appear in or come in? I mean, and I'm wondering, do you have to really make that decision if you want to make it go global? Maybe we can bring you both back in again, Ahmed or Amar. I mean, are you very concerned? Does it concern you? Is it sort of as to what? Not the language, but of course the accent.
I think when it comes to the adult viewers, I think the more local you are, the more people will appreciate it, actually. But for kids and children, it has to be the pan-Arab language, because it's the same subjects for the kids.
What is pan-Arab language, though?
Classical.
So you'd always resort back to the classical Arabic, right?
We call it Fusha, which is a formal Arabic, the writing Arabic.
Right.
Actually, we're trying to develop our creative writing department now, because that's the real lack in the market and in the industry. We're trying to find new concepts, new ideas. Amar can tell you more about this. Mm. I mean, the writing is the real thing now, because the industry is there. The technology is there. Everyone can make an animation. It's a matter of budget. But the concept, it's the concept and the idea, that's what matters, actually.
Mm. And you were talking, Rama, also about certain trends, I think.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, Sultan is right, it used to be Egypt and their accent that dominated television, whereas now there's a move towards the Syrian accent being the dominant one, because they translate all of the Turkish soap operas.
This is interesting, isn't it?
It's not only the translation, actually, because the Syrian drama, it's becoming much better.
Exactly,
Egyptian,
you're right.
In my opinion. And it's real. They went out of the studio. It's shot in real places.
Bab el Hara, that's
right. Yeah. It's not only the translation of the Turkish drama. And that's why it's becoming more, I mean, it became the dominant. Yes.
Exactly. So I think in the past, like seven to 10 years, they've pretty much dominated the television market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's happening now? You're saying that it's...
I think it's still, I mean, I think it's made the Syrian culture a lot more accessible, the dialect a lot more understood, and the nuances, you know, the phrases, the catchphrases are interesting. So in animation, if you were to go with a Syrian theme, it makes it, you know, easier to understand. Certainly not, you know, it's not the only thing you have to use, but a wider Arab audience will be able to appreciate it, don't you think, Ahmad?
Well, yes, I believe, but I think that there's something that I call the Dubai module. It's something very, very unique. Well, you have all these nationalities from all across the Arab world. The diversity and this mix is really attractive and beautiful. So what I always now think of is having a show based on this city, having all these nationalities interact together, exchanging cultures. We had a problem before that. Why the Egyptians dominated for a very long time? Because pretty much they were the only ones.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the problem is that if you ask an Egyptian, like maybe 7 or 8 years back, what do you know about Syria? He'll tell you, well, it's a country that we like, but he will not really know what happens there. Now, after being exposed to drama coming from the Gulf, I mean the GCC, coming from Syria, I think this is very good, because we are really exchanging our culture. But why to just take this very long route while we can create a drama that mixes everybody up at the same show? So I think this is the orientation now.
And do you think it would work? Because, again, I suppose Frieze is a great example of using local dialect and very much based here in Dubai. Mm. And I often, and I don't know if it has been translated into English, but...
I think it was.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Well, then, I'm just wondering, because there is, I know it's possibly you'd lose a lot in translation, so to speak, but I think definitely. It would still work. I mean, would you contemplate, is there a market there for
I think
for
it will be a rewriting, not only translation, because you will lose the whole joke. I mean, you will lose the funny thing or the when you translate it. You have to rewrite it again. And most of the Arabic animation depends on the dialect, not the action. Especially if, when you say Frieze, Shabit, Cartoon, they are not for children.
Yeah.
Actually, for family, more onto adults. Mm. So it's mostly the dialogue all the time. So you cannot translate that. We've been asked by a company in the U.S. when they saw Mowgli Micro to translate it. We said this is impossible, and it's all about that. You cannot translate
it. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can subtitle it.
I think a case in point was The Simpsons. They tried to translate that.
Into Arabic.
And it lost all its satirical humor.
Really?
And therefore its essence.
Right, yeah.
And I think you have to understand the nuances, like you say, of, you know, this region.
Yeah,
and
it's tricky.
That's what makes The Simpsons funny, because you understand the satirical humor of, you know, the West, and it's just not a direct translation.
I'm wondering, do you do everything in-house, or do you also outsource to other companies, either locally or internationally?
No, for what you've done already, no, in-house.
It's all in-house.
All in-house.
But you said what you're looking for is good story. You're looking for writers that can write good stories.
No, in fact, we are writers.
But you're writers.
I am.
No, I know, but would you ever look to sort of collaborate and do
absolutely.
Like, bigger
things? That's what we've been doing for the last year now. We have realized that there's a lack in the market for material.
Yeah.
So we have made very good ties and a very nice network of writers from different countries in the Arab world and also internationally. And we are actually now providing material for several projects. One of them is going to be very soon on air. I think in September.
Okay. What's it about?
I think we can talk about it. It's a show called Mansoor. It's an animation for kids, of course, 9 to 11 years old, and the content is brilliant, I believe, and there's a very lovely and great message behind the show. So yes, of course, we have 2-3 more, but I will not be able
I wanted to sort of also ask you, we must go to another break, but perhaps we can get into this when we come back, and also we're going to bring in the education side as well, is that, you know, we had a text message come through from one of our listeners who says, I'm 66 and still enjoy very much Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that's
great. We all do.
Who doesn't?
But, you know, you watch Tom and Jerry now and you think, my gosh, I don't think that would be allowed now, would it? I mean, it's so violent, you know. And there's various different cartoons that I think were being banned, you know, they're not PC enough, etc. And so, again, this goes back to, I suppose, what you were saying earlier a little bit, Rama, about trends and what is the trend now as far as animation is concerned, and also, is there a developing here in the Middle East sort of a characteristic, like you can almost tell, kind of like Japanese manga, that's Japanese, it's created by American Tom and Jerry, The Simpsons, you know, there's a feeling about it that you know where it's from, and I'm wondering, is the industry strong enough and big enough now for people to go, that's Middle Eastern, that's from the Middle East, that kind of animation. Do you know what I mean?
It will show. It will show from the show, because it's very local. I mean, the way they dress, everything, you can tell. But it still cannot compete. The percentage is none compared to the universal production. I mean, still, they cannot appear.
I think with the Emirates, you kind of can tell because of the characters and the shape of the characters that they focused on. They tend to be very unrealistic. They all have three fingers or four. I don't know, like that.
There is a style. Yeah.
There's a style of animation that's kind of popular in the UAE. Very different from what the Syrians are doing or the Egyptians. That tend to be a lot more real figure.
It's not nationality based it's like a style. You can create whatever style. And if you're talking about the trend now, I think for the movies, Pixar are the leading. It's the wonderful 3D, the perfect 3D.
Yeah.
But for TV series, if you talk about adults or teenagers, it's the lousy animation thing now. Yeah. It's this strange, freaky stuff you see.
That's true. Yeah. You're right.
This is the trend.
That's so true.
Beyond South Park, actually. There's stuff you see on the networks now. It's really crazy. Yeah, I cannot understand it. But maybe the younger generation, they do. I don't know.
You know, that's very, very poignant that you should say, because you're absolutely right. Now that I think of it, it really weird stuff.
Yes.
There's one which is on, I'll try and remember it. I'll remember it when we come back and I'll ask you about it, see if you know it. Anyway, we must go to a break. We're over time already, but we'll come back. Loads more to talk about.